fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Oh, you know what that means, right? It's time for a fishing report with Leif Seberg. Leif is here, and I was I've been thinking about you. We were going to get together a few days ago, and it didn't work out. But I've been wondering. I'm guessing you're on the river, but I was curious about if the ice was strong enough to hold people and whether or not you'd been to Rufus Woods. But let's maybe start with the river, because I'm guessing that's probably where you spent more time than...
That's the staple.
Yeah, okay.
And that's where the other half of my soul lies, if it's not up in the mountains. So, yeah, it's been, you know, it's been good to have Whitefish open. I'm very thankful that they went ahead and opened a good section of river for us there and gave us the opportunity.
Yeah, maybe state again how big it is, because I know for a while that was almost like, well, that's like worthless. You know,
but speaking of ice fishing, we didn't have to go ice fishing on the upper part of the Methow.
We
can fish from Twisp River up, which is a good swath of water, because a lot of the time, you know, that's generally the warmer water in the wintertime anyway. We got more input from the groundwater, springs and some of these newly reopened side channels and stuff that have a lot of input from the groundwater. And just, you know, it hasn't had time to be on the surface, getting that cold air absorption. By the time it hits the lower end of the river, it's getting pretty darn cold down there. So, it's been good. And, you know, kind of almost like breaking my right hand. You know, it was like I had to get good at all these things with my left hand. So it's kind of like... forcing a man to, you know, change his habits. I'm not just going to be out there getting to throw the same old steelhead bugs all the time, you know? And so it's been fun to get out there with these really tiny bugs, figure out, you know, what fish are reacting to and how. Been having a lot of fun messing around with some of these emerger bugs. And those are the, you know, these chironomids or some of these mayflies, calabatus, ton of those that can be out all times of the year.
But they're small.
Yeah, they're very small. And the emergers, that's the stage of the bug where they've come up from the bottom and they've hit that top film and they're trying to get those wings open. And then they're either partially open or kind of in some phase of the struggling to get flight. And that's when the fish really like to take advantage of them. A lot of people think of like... dry flies when they think of surface action, you know, but both in the summertime as well as the wintertime, fish know they can conserve energy by going for those bugs that are struggling. They're in the middle of that phase that's just harder to get through and out into the air, whereas once they're in the air, they're just like, you know, they're so hard to catch, and they're not going to be wanting to jump after them at this time of the year, for sure.
And I'm guessing it could be some interesting patterns that you might...
Yeah,
I mean, might fit my tying style real good. It's, you know, some, you know, bound up hackles.
Yeah, super fun. I've been doing like a biot, wrapping the biot on the back of the hook, and it's kind of a tough one for me. I'm new at. I know a lot of the people that have done it for a lot more years are probably all to hand at it, but it gives a really neat look of that segmented kind of crustacean-y insect looking. Thorax, and then you do kind of what's called a CDC feather in a loop on itself on the back to kind of look like the wings that are almost popped out of the carapace there. And so they're and they kind of want to float right in that. The key to them is kind of in the film, as they say, that top 1 to 3 inches. Uh-huh. And so you may even be using some floatant on your line. I usually kind of we'll grease the line all the way until about 3 or 4 fingers width from that bug, and it hangs right into that sweet spot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Float the line, but let the bug drop down a little bit.
But you're still going to see that take super easy, because it makes a very obvious whoop, you know, whirl on the surface. And it was just something that came to me was as I've been sitting here watching the bigger back eddies as I'm kind of fishing the normal part of the run, I'll just notice all this activity, and you know, it seems to be trout and whitefish alike are all coming up on those emergers at the same time. And so I just finally couldn't take it anymore, tied some of them up, swung them through there, and sure enough, you know, it's not every drift, but really kind of no problem, not as hard as I would have thought to bring them up.
Yeah, and, so the effort was worth it.
I mean,
and it didn't take. It wasn't like a big long experiment.
No, it was. Yeah, it was like right away. You know, well, within a half dozen drifts, like whoop, you know, came up. Cool. I think probably the first time they really saw that little bug go through this giant back eddy, probably amongst a bunch of other bugs.
Yeah.
And they went and they took it. Cool. It was almost like being out there in the summertime, getting some dry fly action.
Well, you would think any food coming down would be looked at.
Yeah.
But you got to have... But it's a different presentation. It's a different kind of...
Totally.
Yeah, everything's a little bit different this time of year.
And, you know, the window is super short at this time of the year. As we've talked about in the past, it's 1 to 3 hours that the fish are really biting well, feeding well. Right. And, you know, it's generally a midday kind of thing, starting at maybe 10, anywhere from 10 to 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that window is probably going to be in there somewhere for you. And it's, you know, it's hard to predict when you're going to see them doing things like feeding in the film like that, because you kind of have to predict a hatch, and it's kind of harder to do than you'd think. The other day I was out, it was a super nice day,
but
there weren't really many bugs hatching, and I've been out there on some of the mediocre days, and there was just a ton of bugs hatching, and you could see a half dozen rises in a back eddy within, you know, 5 minutes, which is a lot of activity for the wintertime, you know, so.
Got to put your entomologist hat on.
Yeah. I guess I'll have to consult with some of my buddies that are better at that stuff than I.
So, like I thought, you know, river looks good. What about ice fishing and then Rufus Wood, too? I'm curious.
You know, I've been trying to get out to Rufus Woods, either been busy with the holidays or then the last time I would have gone, it was just too cold. Once it's, you know, down into the low 20s, it's hard to get enough fishing in between frozen guides, so I don't really go out there. I was going to go today, but I got a sick kiddo at home with me today. Oh. So next week, I'm hoping to get out there because this is the time of the year for Rufus. I mean, it's the water's kind of been the same temp for a while. The fish are used to it. They're feeding opportunistically, and this generally when you start to rack up the points out there. Yeah. So I'll be getting out there, and I would advise others do the same as soon as you can. And I like to go out by way of the Columbia River Road past Omak Lake. That way, if it just wasn't performing out at Rufus, I can always give it a shot or two on the way home at Omak Lake, because that being so, you know, having such a high salinity to that water, it doesn't freeze, and those fish will be poking around there. You know, just kind of hit and miss there too. It's winter fishing. You never know. You could have some good days. You could have some slow days, but always worth trying. Yeah. So pretty.
Well, it's nice to have an option when you're driving a little bit for it.
And you get to stretch your legs, get out of the house a little bit, get out of the valley. But ice fishing, you know, I heard some great reports from my buddy Kane there at Heavy Hitter. Had a few groups of folks up there lately. I know the first day he went up there, he said they limited 5 of them on their kokanee within a half an hour.
To Patterson.
At Patterson, yes. Yeah. And I've seen him up there doing similar things as of late. He said, though, that the ice kind of gets a little soft and slushy on top at a, you know, about 10 or 11. So they've been kind of getting up there about 7 and wrapping up, you know, before that point, before they get too wet out there. He said there's about 6 inches of ice where they've been fishing. Yeah. So
that's not bad.
I just look for hopefully some, for that matter, some colder temps to get back out there and firm that ice up again for us, maybe add a couple more inches. But you know, I mean, it's perfectly safe at 6 inches, and what a good time, too. I mean, if you're getting those kind of numbers, we're always talking about opportunities for the kids and the family. That's definitely your spot right there. I loaned one of your offspring my auger the other day, and he went out to...
I saw that over
his house. He's
lucky
enough to have a great little fishing hole right next to his house, and they were catching lunkers through the ice there.
They were,
Yeah, I won't disclose his... private fishing hole there, it is a public lake if you walk in the right way.
I saw your auger at Christmas time, and I don't think they'd been out on the ice. I don't think they knew how.
Yeah, it was just a day or two after.
Yeah,
and I saw he sent me a great picture of the older boy there with the with a big old lunker and a big old smile on his face.
Hadn't heard any of that yet. So
it was cool. Good to see there at least putting that thing to use. I was kind of waiting. You know, I'm always a spiny ray guy when it comes to through the ice. So that's the other reason I'm hoping it firms up there at Patterson, because I would like to go up there and put in a little bit of time, get some of those perch and crappie, which, you know, they are getting up there too. So I imagine once it's too cold to to fling the fly line through the guides, I'll be heading up there for some hard water fishing again.
Does it ever get too cold, really?
It has to get pretty freaking cold.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Once I can't get more than one drift in without having to pick those eyelets again, then I'm giving up. That's generally about 19 degrees.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You go just under 20 and then
yeah, it's... That's about it. That's pretty much the cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, if anybody wants to stay up to date on what's going on with that or any other things, I think I will be doing a little fly tying here at the tap room maybe this Saturday with my friend Sarah.
Yeah.
We've been kicking around some times. Just stay in touch on Facebook with that. You can mm-hmm. also get a hold of my buddy Kane on Facebook at Heavy Hitter Guide Service if you want to do some ice fishing with him. He's got the great shanty, the video games, puts you right on the fish. You know, like I say, if you need some fishing tips or would like to book a trip, just give me a call on the old phone line there, 509-429-7298, or the interwebs at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com. You can catch the blog or podcast at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. And don't forget to defend those public lands. Check us out at OORC. They're also on Facebook. The Open Roads can use your help because we're fighting the good fight, keeping those public lands public. Don't forget, get that fish on.
Oh, what you think that brother mine did do? Caught 7 pounds perch on the bottom, creamy got it. Nah, took him on the mama, say it's real gone. Come on, his pole and his line. He was going fishing and my mama's going fishing. And